Welcome, it's a blessing to all the precious family. For those that will not be able to see the screen, I had posted the pre-record sermon for everyone to be able to have access, and also the audio, just in case if you can't hear it. We only have a few minutes to be able to begin. I just hope and pray everyone can see the posting in the room, dear ones.
Rose, the only thing I can see here is a two hour and 22 minute something or other, a little oval.
Yeah, the posting that I was speaking about is the one that is in the chat for those that are not able to see the screen. This is the audio
okay.
that I'm going to be playing
okay.
in the next 2 minutes.
Okay.
Right now. Praise God.
Sabbath, dear ones, welcome to our main church service on this 13th day of March 2021. Sabbath blessings to those that are joining us on the phone or listening to the recording of today's service.
Dr. Carol.
In fellowship and joining together in worshiping our Spirit. Our opening song for today's service is The Bible Stands. This is what we're going to be learning more about today, is God's holy, sacred word. Those who know this hymn, please take a verse. The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroyed they never can. The Bible stands where the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands and reveals forever, when the world has passed away, thy inspiration it has been given of his preceptual always. The Bible stands, though the hills may tremble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, every test be given, for its author is divine.
my grace alone I expect to live it and to prove and to make it mine. The Bible stands tall, the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will remain true. It will stand forever. It is infinite. May we allow God's Bible truth to reign supreme within us, allowing Christ to take the throne of our heart. And then through Christ, we will indeed remain and live forever. Please join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for sending us Jesus Christ, the Word of the living God, the truth manifested in human flesh. And thank you, Savior, for showing us the perfect example of what it means to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Father, we ask for thy presence to continue to be among us. And please shed abroad upon us the light and the love and the truth and the joy that surrounds you and your throne, that it may surround and be received in the hearts of every listening individual. Savior, we pray that thy presence will continue also among us. And please allow your truth to dispel all darkness in our hearts and minds. And dear Spirit, we also pray that your presence will continue among us, and please convict us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. Open our eyes to understand the truth as it is in Jesus. Please reprove and correct our understanding, that only the truth may reign supreme and all darkness and custom and tradition and preconceived ideas and opinions will fall as nothingness, that all barriers will be removed, that we can see the straight, clear pathway of truth that leads to eternal life. Thank you for leading and guiding us in this. Be with those that have not yet heard the truth, and please prepare the way. Arrange the circumstances that they may come into connection with the truth. And Spirit, open their hearts to receive it, even though they may not recognize it until later. Dear Savior, as the great physician you are, we pray that you'll be with all of those that are suffering or hurting, that are in ill health, or are going through trials and tribulations. That as the great physician you are, they will be healed of their physical, mental, and spiritual maladies. Thank you so much for drawing close to each one, encouraging and helping and delivering them in thy good time. We also pray that you'll be with our enemies, the enemies of truth, the enemies of Christ in the gospel. And please awaken them to the seriousness of what they are doing before it is too late for them and they are forever lost. Thank you for pricking their hearts. Causing them to second guess their actions and plans. And also for overruling that only what you permit will take place. And everything else will be restrained. And let this be a wake-up call to them as well. Thank you that we're a day closer to heaven. And also thank you for the privilege of meeting together and digging into thy word of inspiration today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, welcome, dear ones. And we're now going to be exploring into the amazing Holy Bible, the Word of the Living God. And there are many different ancient books and sacred writings of various civilizations and peoples that each claims are the only truth that the world needs today. Now, for Christians, they believe that this one special book of sacred writings is the Holy Bible. But is this belief correct? Is the Bible really the only source of truth, and can it be trusted not to teach any error or to lead us astray into all the various false and dangerous pathways that are out there to trap unwary individuals? Out of them all, is the Bible the only source of truth and knowledge? And this is what we're going to be investigating into today. And for those that would like to follow along, you can find the quotes that I'll be referring to on our website at lightministries.com/ID1933.htm. So lightministries.com/ID1993.htm. Now if you look at quote number one, what are the sacred writings of the Bible commonly known as? We're told in Matthew 21 verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? So we see that the sacred writings of the Bible are commonly known as the scriptures. But there's another title that's given to these sacred scriptures. We're told in Luke 8 verse 21. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. So these sacred scriptures are to be read not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which we're told in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. So then the next question comes up. Can we fully trust these inspired words of God, the scriptures? And if you look at quote number two, in Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. And in Psalms 12:6, The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And seven is a symbol of perfection. So God's words are pure and perfect. So we see that these words of God are truth, are pure, and are perfect. So then, how were these scriptures and this word of God given? How do we have it today? And if you look at quote number 3, in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Hebrews 1:1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And then in 2 Samuel 23:2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. So we see that the scriptures, this word of God, was given by inspiration of God to the prophets, and it was through the Spirit of the Lord speaking and inspiring these prophets. So then, who were these prophets that God inspired and the Holy Spirit spoke and wrote through? And we're told in 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this reveals to us that God did not choose to inspire evil and wicked people to speak his words of truth through, but these prophets were good and righteous individuals who God then inspired, and they spoke or wrote what God inspired them to say or to write. But what was the reason why God gave his scriptures by inspiration unto men and women? You look at quote number 4. In Hosea 4:6, we're told, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So just the opposite of lack of knowledge, God's word is a lamp that leads us in the correct path. Also in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So God's word was not just given to mankind to bring knowledge and understanding and to be a guide into the correct path that leads to life. But it was also to give us comfort and hope and to remain patient until this comfort and hope comes and is a reality. So as we read in God's holy word, what is the main theme that we will discover? What does it all center around? We're told in Luke 24:27-44. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, or Jesus Christ, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So the main theme of the scriptures is Jesus Christ. His mission. His goal, his relationship to God, his relationship to us. That's what the scriptures brings out. So what can we learn from the scriptures? In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And 2 Timothy 3:15. The holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So when we read in the scriptures, we not only see the uplifted Savior, the Messiah, the anointed of God, Emmanuel, but we also see the true foundational basis for all correct doctrine, for all correct ways in righteousness, so that in following these, we can become perfect through Christ and then exemplify him in our lives, in doing good works to others. We find the pathway that leads to salvation. So the true foundation for all doctrine is not the commandments of men. It's not the creeds of the churches. It's not the teachings of the fathers. It's not the writings of learned rabbis or any other so-called righteous men. The foundation for all true doctrine is God's word, his scriptures. So as these scriptures are the pure words of God that were delivered to holy men under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and these words are to reprove and correct and instruct God's people on how to become righteous and perfect in their life, making them wise into salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, then can we understand God's word by our own mental ability? You look at quote number 5. In Genesis 6:5, we're told, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." In 2 Peter 1:20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation." In Mark 7, verse 21 through 23, "For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And in Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. So then, since we are all of a sinful, fallen nature, and we cannot understand God's word with our own private, foolish, mental interpretation, then how are we going to understand the truth that's in God's word? We can't find it within. And it's not going to do any good to go to other foolish, mental human beings to try and discover what the truth is through their interpretation. So it shows us that if we can't understand God's word ourselves, and others like us can't understand God's word for themselves, then in order to understand God's sacred word, we have to look to its author, to God himself. And if you look at quote number 6, in John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So we need the Holy Spirit to come to us to teach us all things. We're also told in Ezekiel 36, verses 25 to 27, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. And in John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So we can't understand what God's word is teaching us without help. And the help doesn't come from other human beings, regardless if they claim to be the interpreter of God's word, regardless if they're the pope or priests or prelates or pastors or elders. Only the Holy Spirit, who inspired holy men of old to write down or to speak the words of God, is the only one who can lead to a correct understanding of the words of God. So then once God has cleansed us and has given us his spirit, then how should we regard these inspired words of God that we read in the Holy Scriptures? You look at quote number 7. In Job 23, verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So in other words, we should regard the words of God as more important than our daily intake of food. In Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So not only are we to live by the food we eat, but we're also to live by every word of Scripture. We're told in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're not just to read God's word, but we're to study it. And in 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So we're to study God's word. We're to follow what God says. And we're to continue to study it until the darkness in our hearts is dispelled by the rising of the Son of Righteousness, or Jesus Christ. So not just give up because you don't understand everything the first time you read it, but continue to read and to study until the truth is recognized. And what's going to happen if we do take the time to study, to follow, and to live by God's word and his commandments? Continuing at quote number 7 from Proverbs 2, verses 3 to 5. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And in John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. So the things that we read and the truths that are open to our understanding in God's word, we're to follow, we're to live by. Just as we live by food to keep our physical life going, so we live by God's inspired word to keep our spiritual life going. Now, if you look at quote number 8, God's holy word is comprised of 39 books of the Old Testament and 27 books of the New Testament, making a total of 66 sacred books of Scripture. But it's been some 4,000 years since the earliest prophets wrote their books contained in the Old Testament, and about 2,000 years since the prophets wrote in the New Testament. So then how do we know that the Holy Scriptures were not just written for those people who happened to be living at the time of these prophets in both the Old and the New Testament? How do we know that the Scriptures are for us today and not just for them? We're told in Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So the prophets who wrote these words that are contained in both the Old and the New Testament, they've withered and fallen away, but the inspired word of God remains true. In Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In Psalms 12:6-7, the words of the Lord are pure words. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation when they were written forever. So since God's word is the truth and it will last forever, then these scriptures are a standard for determining what is truth and what is error in all ages, including today. And we're told that very thing in Isaiah 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So to the law of God and to the testimony given under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, anyone who teaches or believes something that is contrary to God's law and to the inspired testimony of the prophets, anyone who teaches or believes something that contradicts God's holy word, it is because it is not the truth. It is error. It is falsehood. And thus it's not to be followed because it's not the truth. So this means that the Bible was written for you and me today, and not just for those living back at the time when these prophetic writers penned God's word. So God's holy scriptures are not a dead book, but they're a present truth for you and me today. Continuing in quote number 8 from Amos 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. And in Daniel 2, verse 28. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known what shall be in the latter days. In other words, the day in which you and I live in, the God of heaven has revealed the very days in which we live today, and it's found in God's word of truth. So these secrets of the Lord that his servants, the prophets, wrote down as prophecies are found in God's word. And when you look throughout the scriptures, you'll find that there's approximately 2,500 different prophecies scattered throughout both the Old and the New Testament. And do you know how many of these prophecies or prophetic predictions have come true out of these 2,500? Do you know how many are yet to be fulfilled out of these 2,500? This is what we'll discover and investigate into next Sabbath. So we hope to see you, dear ones. Going to be finding out some very amazing things about God's holy scriptures. Our closing song is Give Me the Bible.
Well, happy Sabbath to everyone, and hello.
This is Sabbath, Sister Shaka.
Sing along with us. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer, lone and tempest-tossed. No storm can hide that peaceful radiance beam. since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combine, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken, all the faith's lamp to show my Savior me. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in a narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining. Till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible, all my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger of this world's below. The lamp of safety, or the bloom shall brighten. The light alone, the path of peace can show. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Priest and power, Lord, love combine. Till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Amen. And may we realize that God has given us His Word to guide us, to comfort us, to encourage us, and especially to lead us directly to Jesus and salvation. Thank you, Father, for giving us Thy Word that leads us more and more unto that perfect day. Please join with me in prayer. Precious Father, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love, and watchful care. Thank you for not leaving us in darkness, but giving us thy word, the word of truth, the light that we need to guide us in the correct way, and for sending Jesus down to live your word in human flesh and to show us it's possible for us to do so as well. And for giving us thy spirit. And thank you, Spirit, for leading and guiding us into all truth, for reproving and correcting us of our errors and misinterpretations and understandings, for separating us away from the doctrines and creeds and commandments of men, from custom and tradition, and directing us to the Word of Truth. I pray that you will continue to work within us to correct us and instruct us in righteousness, that we might indeed be true followers of God because we have the truth in our hearts and we would rather die than commit sin. And Spirit, continue to uplift the Savior before us, that as we behold Him, and not the world, not ourselves, not other human beings, but Jesus, that we may be more and more converted into His character, and to truly live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God as He did. And thank you, Spirit, for continuing to lead and guide us moment by moment, day after day. Thank you for not forsaking us, but continuing to prick our hearts and to show us the way of everlasting life. Thank you, Savior, for being our Messiah, our Emmanuel, our Lord God, and for coming soon. Help us to get ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, dear ones, we are in our after service. If there's anyone that would like to share any hymns, any songs, scripture songs, or even their testimony, you can be able to do so by unmuting your mic, dear ones.
Okay. I like to sing the hymn that I haven't sung for some time, "The Comforter Has Come." Hearing about the Comforter reminds me of the song. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, The Comforter has come. The long, long night is past. The morning breaks, alas, and hushed the dreadful wail and fury of the blast. As o'er the golden hills the day advances fast, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. Behold the King of Kings, with healing in his wings, to every captive soul all full deliverance brings. And through the vacant cells the song of triumph rings. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. Oh, boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the matchless grace divine? That I, a child of sin, should in his image shine. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. Sing till the echoes fly above the vaulted sky, and all the saints above to all below reply in strains of endless love, the song that never will die. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found. The Comforter has come.
And I would like to share a scripture song, holding on to the theme of our sermon and also our youth study and going as far as the children's study. I'm going to share Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 9, and I'm also going to read a little paragraph from letter 71, 1895. I'm going to read the paragraph first. Letter 71, 1895. Wearing the yoke with Christ means to work in his lines, to be a co-partner with him in his suffering and toils for lost humanity. It means to be a wise instructor of souls. We shall be what we are willing to be made by Christ in these precious hours of probation. We shall be the source of a vessel that we allow ourselves to be molded into. We must unite with God in the molding and fashioning work, having our will submitted to the divine will. And the scripture song. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen.
I have a small paragraph here I'd like to share. If you love the scriptures and search them whenever you have opportunity, that you may come into possession of their rich treasures, then you may be assured that Jesus is drawing you to himself. Volume 7, page 204, paragraph 2. What do we do with our spare time? Do we spend it reading our Bibles or reading something else? I find it's too easy to watch things. So I'm trying to watch better things. And videos, movies leave an impression on the mind that it's hard to efface. I find it's better to put things in the mind that at least you're not ashamed to remember or share with someone else. Let's see if I can recite this one. Another one, volume 9, page 133. All foolish talking, all lightness and trifling are enticements of the enemy to deprive you of spiritual strength. Brace yourselves to resist this evil in the name of the God of Israel. That leaves joking, telling jokes, or sharing jokes with others out of the picture. I met a fellow down at Walmart one day. He's a Sabbath keeper, an Adventist. He goes to the local church. And I went over to say hi to him. He said, hi. I got a joke for you, he said. I said, no. No, he said, it's a clean joke. It's okay. It's a clean joke. So he proceeded to tell me his clean joke. And it was. And when he got done, I said, oh, brother. So I came home and I found that reference and I shared it with him. I said, you have given me something I will never forget, although I've only heard it once, and I don't repeat it. If you had shared a Bible text with me that I didn't know, I would probably struggle to remember it. He said he accepted the rebuke A few months later, we met again. Got a joke for you. Oh, brother. No, no. His wife said, oh, it's clean, it's clean, it's clean. I said, it's okay. I don't want to hear it. I don't know how he reacted. I didn't ask him. But that's just a thought. So, Antonio, you look like you wanted to say something. Go ahead. I'll release the mic. Well, the participation is fantastic here. All ears. Yeah, are you waiting for me to sing the Keep Looking Up song before you depart? Maybe I should hold out for a while and see how long that lasts, huh? I don't have somebody else to tell me when, so I have to decide.
Actually, before that, we want to sing a song in Spanish. So here we go.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Canto el gran amor de aquel que primero a mí me amó, pues dejó la gloria allá y en el Gólgota murió. Tal amor ensalzaré cuando el que murió inmolado para que vida eterna tenga yo. Antes que llorara yo, ya por mí lloraba él, y antes que supiera orar, él por mí gustó la hiel. Tal amor ensalzaré, alabando al que murió, inmolado para que vida eterna tenga yo. Este mundo nunca vio tan profundo y santo amor que el pecado me quitó, aliviando mi dolor. Tal amor ensalzaré, alabando al que murió, inmolado para que vida eterna tenga yo. Nada bueno se halla en mí, ¿cómo puedes tanto amar? Yo, Señor, me rindo a ti, hazme pues mi amor mostrar. Tal amor ensalzaré, alabando al que murió, inmolado para que vida eterna tenga yo. Amén.
Brother Vic, there's the quotations I would like to share. This is regarding the verse that you mentioned during the Sabbath, adult Sabbath school, regarding James 2:10. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. I read a quotations from the writings of Ellen White. I couldn't find the right code, but I found this one actually playing the this one point that Ellen White was talking about is regarding about the Sabbath. This is found in Review and Herald, August 27, 1889, paragraph 4. It says here, those who understandingly reject the fourth commandment are in darkness, says James. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So I believe that that one point is mentioning that when you really reject the fourth commandment, you are guilty of all. And if you truly keep the fourth commandment, you will also keep the rest. So that one point that is being mentioned right there is the fourth commandment, because when you truly keep the fourth commandment, you will keep the rest. Another thing also, me and my wife would like to share something here, a scripture song, another version of Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 that was being sung by Sister Rose. This is another tune that we have learned, Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. We would like to share it.
Go ahead.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7.
You do very well, Jonathan, singing scripture songs. I don't memorize scripture songs very much. I sure don't make up my own. Bob, I think, makes up a lot of his own. But if that's the way you can remember scripture, more power to you. When I was doing a lot of memorizing back in school, I just memorized the verses itself. And I learned quite a few of them, but somehow they've slipped out of sight as far as memory goes. And I can remember a lot of the verses, but I can't tell you where they're found. I'll have to go and search for that. But maybe the song helps you connect the two. I don't know.
I have a question. And maybe by thus saith the Lord, we can answer it. I was just thinking about the quote that Brother Jonathan was referencing, and also in the text from James. If we're breaking one of the laws, we're breaking all of them. And that brought to my mind, for Sunday worshipers who are just, they're essentially not observing the Sabbath, to them, they're commandment keepers, right? But they're not doing that one. What happens to them? Are they considered all as rejectors of the law? Or rejectors of the commandments?
No, we're all required to just live up to what we know. Some of those people out there that love the Lord are dying for him, literally, now, in this year. And they'll learn about the Sabbath on the way to heaven. There'll be one Sabbath spent on our journey to heaven. And when Jesus explains to them that Sunday was the wrong day, and the devil invented that, and he wanted them to keep the Sabbath. Just like that, they'll accept it and be happy with it. They're living up to what they know, and that's all that God requires. To whom much is given, much is required. Somehow I feel that I'm going to have a lot required of me because of my background, my education. Going to leave me without excuse. I've got to persevere and get sin out of my life so I can receive the latter rain. I sure don't want to miss it.
Amen. So, just going a step further. So, in all, they are going according to what they know, and the truth, the Sunday truth is what they know. So, they haven't really known the meaning then of the fourth commandment. I mean, as one looking in, And I was a Sunday worshiper. I grew up doing that because that's what my parents did, my family did. And so I continued into that until I was introduced to the Sabbath truth. And then by the grace of God, I was given the ability to exercise it a little bit more. So first I was hearing about the Sabbath, but I was still a Sunday worshiper. And then I was put into a situation where, unbeknownst to me, I was defending the Sabbath as a Sunday worshiper because I knew it said, I didn't know exactly what it said, but I know it said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So I guess in saying this, I'm answering my own question, but I just was thinking about all the others who are reading the commandments. But I guess the Lord have to impress them to be able to accept it. And if the Lord then brings it to them in that way and they reject it, then they'll be held accountable, for then not upholding the commandments. Is that a better understanding of it?
Yes. Yes, we're only required to obey what we know. And we should seek to learn all we can. Ignorance is no excuse for the law here in this world, and for sure in relation to God's kingdom. He has given us plenty of information in the Bible and expanded in the spirit of prophecy. Seventh-day Adventists, those who have these books have no excuse. If they read them, it's to their benefit. If they don't, they're missing out a lot. Presently, I'm going through all 9 volumes of it. It's not going to make me any better than anybody else, but I've got them sitting on the shelf. Why not read them? It'll keep me from doing something else. Celadonio, I see you're trying. What's going on over there? Are you going to speak to us, or are you just going to key up now and again? Yeah, I guess I'll never know.
Oops. We would like to share a little testimony. We're doing over the road. You know, as a truck driver, last week we went to Jacksonville, Florida, and I was not expecting that my load will be delayed to drop, you know. I was just thinking that once we arrive there, we're just going to drop the load and then pick up another load and stop at the truck stop and do something, some errands, drive, have my daughter to meet us up, you know. But anyway, it was a blessing that when we arrived there at the, I didn't know that it was actually a rail, you know, that I had to drop the load at the rail, and my load was not even built ahead, so there was a waiting, like almost an hour of waiting, you know, to be able to deliver that load. But it was a blessing because our daughter, actually, who was staying there in Orlando, was able to meet us, and she picked up my wife, and so they went shopping, and it was a blessing because, you know, this banana plant, actually, that was, you could hardly actually find this in the nursery in California, you know, and but very easy right there. My wife went to Lowe's, and she found this banana plant, and she was able, and two guava tree, actually. So it was a blessing because now we can have these plants planted here in the Oklahoma area. So it's a blessing, and we want to surely thank the Lord for that, that our delay was a blessing.
Very good, very good. Our witness to our company was the fact that they knew that they had a load that needed to get somewhere in a hurry. They gave it to us, and they knew we wouldn't dilly-dally along the way. And somebody was to take a load from Florida to, I think, either San Francisco or San Diego to put on a cruise ship, and they got there late. And the cruise ship had left and headed north, and its next stop was to been somewhere in out in the northwest corner of Oregon at some pier. So they told us to go swap box with somebody else and get it there on time. We did, and they were very happy. Only twice did one of the dispatchers, and not our regular dispatcher, ask us to work on Sabbath. And both times, I held up the keys and I said, you want us to bring these back? We don't work on Sabbath. Well, one of the night dispatchers, he was kind of put out with us for not going and getting the load on Sabbath. And they didn't have anybody else in the area to get it. Oft times, they'd have somebody else go pick up the load and bring it to us and then take their load and go on. This time, they didn't. And I don't know what ever happened to that, but... mostly they honored our Sabbath, and we worked hard for them, and I hope that was a good witness. When we left, we got I think it was a study Bible, and gave it to our dispatcher. We found out that dispatchers are not supposed to be able to receive gifts from the workers, but they let her take it. Well, we're losing our participants here one by one. I see they have other priorities. Let's see what's happened here. Anything? No. So, I think this is what, wait a minute, let me check the list here. No, we're missing somebody. Two somebodies. Maybe the person behind that blue screen there is not who I think it is. But anyway. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.